Herzlich willkommen zur zweiten Ausgabe des Amazona-Podcasts. Mein Name ist Dimitrios Kaspschek und in der heutigen Ausgabe haben wir Mike Soldano im Gespräch. Mike hat mit Soldano Amplifications in den 80er und 90er Jahren mitdefiniert, was wir heute unter dem klassischen High-Gain-Verzerrer-Sound verstehen. Mithilfe des Slows 100, den er im Laufe der Jahre immer wieder weiterentwickelt hat, hat er mitgeprägt, was wir eben unter dem Hardrock- und Metal-Sound grundlegend verstehen. Ich habe mich mit Mike über die Geschichte von Soldano Amplifications unterhalten, über die 80er und 90er Jahre, wie er diese Zeit in Los Angeles und Seattle erlebt hat und wie er die USA heute sieht. Viel Spaß mit dem Gespräch, wünscht euch die Gitarren- und Bassredaktion von Amazon.de.
Well, you know, my amps have always been popular in Germany ever since the late 80s and early 90s when a guy named Peter Wolf, he owned a music store called PRS Guitars, and he was importing Soldanos back in as early as I think 1990, maybe even 89. So we've always had a presence there. And you know, and he was also the importer for Paul Reed Smith guitars at the time. Of course, that's why he called his shop PRS Guitars. And so, it was a really nice match. I mean, an SLO, the PRS is an awesome combination. Yeah. And so he was bringing SLOs into Germany as early as 1990, maybe even 89, and they were ridiculously expensive back then, which I'm sure they probably still are. But I mean, they were really, really like super, you know, coveted items. Yeah. And so we've always had a presence. And through the years, various, you know, when Peter went on to actually work for Paul Reed Smith Guitars, other distributors took over and just continued to keep bringing them into the country for you guys. So. Yeah, there's always been kind of a steady supply of small supply. I mean, a very small amount, but there were always amps coming into Germany.
I have the impression by now for several reasons, I think, but there are a lot of really hard bands, like heavy metal bands and metalcore bands that are using them like crazy. It's kind of an open secret. They are, to be honest, not the cheapest, of course. Not everybody has them, but they kind of have a stand with the metal community by now, at least in Germany, I realize that.
Good. That's good to hear.
You have, I mean, how many decades have you been going at this? This is over 3 decades of app building, right?
Yes. Yeah, I actually kind of got started like in the mid 80s. So it was probably like I started building guitars first. So I was building guitars in the late 70s and early 80s. And I just built a handful of them for myself and for some friends, you know. but I did have a small business doing that. And so during that time is when I started tinkering with amps at the same time. Because I figured, well, you know, it's all part of the equation. And I didn't really know much about electronics when I first got started. I mean, I understood basic electronics that I just gleaned from high school physics and stuff like that. But I hadn't really plunged into the world of, you know, vacuum tube amplifiers until about 1980, 81 is when I started really getting interested in the stuff. And so I taught myself electronics over a period of about 4 or 5 years. And by 85, I was actually building amps from scratch. And I built the very first SLO in 1985, 86, the very first one. And I built it myself. So about 85, 86, that was when I built the very first SLO. It was the prototype. It's named Mr. Science. I still own it. It's a crude amp, but it's basically the SLO. And it's in a white spray painted chassis with masking tape labels. And the cabinet doesn't have any Tolex on it. It's just spray painted flat black. And so anyway, so the first production, so I built that amp mainly for myself. I was still aspiring to be a, you know, big, you know, guitar hero, but unfortunately my chops never were quite good enough for that. You know, me against Randy Rhodes, I just don't think so. It was no contest. So, so I was starting to kind of reassess my priorities, and I was thinking like, well, you know, if I can't be a rock star, I could at least build hardware for rock stars, you know? Yeah. And there was a lot of interest in what I was doing, because when I had my prototype and I'd go and test it out at my friends' rehearsal rooms and stuff, every time we crank that thing up, guys would come from all the other rooms and go, what is that amp, you know? And I realized there was definitely an interest. So when I decided to actually build a few of these, because people would say, hey, if you build one of these, I'll buy it, you know? And at the time, I had gotten my first set of transformers, but the company that made them said, well, we can build you, you know, one or two samples, but after that, if you want to get any more, you have to order at least 10. And so I took the plunge and I decided, well, there was enough guys that told me they wanted one of these amps that I figured, well, why not? Why don't I just order 10 transformers, build some amps and sell them? And of course I did that, and I scraped up my money and I placed the order for the parts. And of course, only one of those guys actually came through and bought anything. And that was my late friend Tommy Martin. He's unfortunately since passed away, but he bought serial number 86001. That was the very first actual production SLO-100. And so then I had these other amps that I built, and I was trying to figure out what to do with them, you know? And so I said, well, you know, maybe I need to, you know, try to sell them, of course. So I ran an ad in the back of Guitar World magazine, and that, you know, I got a few inquiries, but nothing really happened. So